Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
I'll handle this. The Avatar is back. This is Appa, my flying bicycle.
Right. And this is Katara, my flying sister.
That's right, I'm Sokka. It's pronounced with an Akka.
My name is Toph Beifong, and I'll need 4 tickets.
My name is Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, and heir to the throne.
Don't flatter yourself.
You lost me at Zuko.
Zuko, you look so cute.
I can tell you're lying.
Why would I let go of Katara? I love her.
Anybody got a problem with that?
You'll have to leave now. Your lemur is harassing my sparrow keys.
Those are enemy birds.
Even that oaf knows to concentrate on what he's doing.
He really does have a heart, doesn't he?
Come on!
Shuffle on, I get you.
Stay flaming. Now, check this out.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar, The Last Airbender, and Legend of Korra podcast for DongWuFang.net. I'm your main host, Melanie. Mel. Why did I say that? I don't know, but that's my full name if anyone was curious. I'm Mel, and today I'm joined by co-host Sam.
So.
And mini co-host Philip.
Hello.
Delaney.
Hello.
And Haley.
Hi.
Sweet. I forgot to say that thing again, so if you want an in-depth discussion about Avatar from
fandom members.
Something about long time and knowledgeable fandom members. If you want it, it's here. So
and then this is a mini cast. Where we discuss things.
Small things about Avatar and Korra. Yeah, that'll, that's good. Alright, so, today we are discussing the spirit world. What is it? How does it work? We don't know. We're gonna talk about it. Apparently we'll find out in the new season, or book season. New book of Korra. I think it's still season one. Not really sure how that works. So, Dylan pointed out to me that the spirit world is only seen in 2 episodes, I think. Even though it seems like more. Is this true?
Well, like the legit spirit world, or yeah. Like the...
Because he, like, has actual visits to the spirit world, and then there's the whole other stuff he does with Roku's dragon and stuff.
I don't think that counts, though. Because I'm specifically talking about episode 7, which is the Winter Solstice part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's the one with Hayfi, the giant panda, who destroys everything.
Okay, so in the sequence of 2 episodes, he visits the spirit world. Because he visits it with Roku, and then I guess he goes into the spirit world to find... Or is that the same thing? I'm confused. Anyway, in the only... episode 7 and episode 20, which is when he goes into the spirit world at the North Pole. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So... First thing I want to point out is that those are some pretty different presentations of the two, in my opinion. Because I think the biggest difference is that the second time we see it, it's a lot more sinister feeling. I don't know, maybe it's the part of the spirit world he's in, or maybe it's the spirit world in general. We haven't seen enough of it, but what are your guys' thoughts? Clearly no one has any. Okay.
I don't know. I think it would require, like, more, you know, this extra season or book or whatever they're calling it to know whether or not, you know, it was retcons that they were doing or if it's just stuff is different in different places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've gotten the feeling that, I mean, it's a bigger place than, you know, it's been let on. But then we've been 2 conflicting views that it's a world completely different from the world we see or that it's a reflection. So... That's how I feel about it. That
it seems almost that there's like 2 layers almost to the spirit world. There's like the one with Ko that's this completely different world, and then there's this other layer to it where he just kind of floats around and nobody sees him, and him and Roku go off on magical adventures or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they call it the realm of Ko, and I just feel like that's his little section. That if you wander over there, you should really just leave. And of course, Ko can go wherever he wants. He's a spirit. Like, his crib or like wherever he chills. That's where he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing about this is we don't know anything at all, really, because we don't know, like, okay, we've got the Realm of Ko. Is he allowed outside of this place? Can he roam? Or is everyone, like, segregated to their own specific section? Like, and that's interesting, too. You bring up, like, is it a mirror world of the mortal world, or is it something different entirely?
I feel like it'd be more clear. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I feel like it'd be more clear if they had been more specific with what happened to Umi. That was her name, right? Umi? Avatar's wife?
Yeah.
Because they said, like, I mean, he stole her face, but and he lured her in, so it's, like, right into his little cave thing, or he lured her into, like, this beautiful patch of flowers and then took her face.
Yeah, which could suggest, you know, maybe he was once in the mortal world, or maybe she died and possibly went to the spirit world, which we also don't know if that's a thing that you can do.
Because we don't even know who can get into the spirit world. We know the Avatar can get in.
And we know that Iroh somehow got in. So that's another thing, too. It's like there's just so much we don't know about this place that they've presented, which I think a lot of people want to know. I mean, it looks like a really interesting place.
It seems like something they almost intentionally left vague.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
They were focusing more on, I mean, because it was just kind of a secondary aspect of the world, the spirit world, because, I mean, well, they talk about it, they say things, but they don't actually show it, because it's just secondary to the main story of Aang having to learn all the elements and defeat the Fire Lord.
Yeah, I think it's only people like us that really latch on to, what is this place? But yeah, I mean, and it's cool that they left it intentionally ambiguous, and it makes me wonder how much they're going to talk about in this upcoming book of Korra, which I think it mostly focuses on the Avatar's role in the spirit world. So maybe we still won't get all those questions answered because, you know, maybe they do want to leave it intentionally ambiguous, or, you know, maybe they want to tie up some loose ends. My thought is maybe they'll just tie up the loose ends that are plot related and, leave the rest to speculation. Go ahead.
One thing I wonder if they'll do is touch on Iroh, because it seems like everybody wants to know what Iroh is, like, what happened with him.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they couldn't do it without some kind of gratuitous flashback in the middle of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something that it may maybe not even directly addressed, but will be addressed, like, talking about how maybe somebody who's not the Avatar gets into the spirit world. Because I mean,
Bowen, his girlfriend.
Yeah. Yes, Bowen. And the spirit that he falls in love with eventually.
It's already canon.
Or is that just a popular
No, it's canon already, clearly. It's like Howra.
It's the most bizarre thing that could happen. Well, okay, I'm not going to say that. We've seen some bizarre things.
Like Howl and Korra. If nobody got that. Okay, so another thing that's interesting is, are spirits equatable to gods? Because we've got these spirits who are like the spirit of the ocean and the spirit of the moon, and then you've got someone like Ko, which to me kind of is equatable to these, like, to characters in, like, the Odyssey, where we have the character of Calypso, who's mentioned to be a goddess, but she's not a goddess of anything. She's just a goddess.
Because when I read that, I thought you meant, like supreme being, or so you're meaning that the representative of something particularly.
Yeah, and supreme beings too, because not, like I said, not all gods used in Greek mythology represent something. Like I said, this Calypso from the Odyssey is mentioned to be a goddess, but she's not like the goddess of anything. She's just, they say that she's a goddess. So it is like, are they supreme beings, and are they also supreme beings who are representative of certain things?
Thanks.
But I think it's kind of a cross, but I don't know if any of you are familiar with Shinto, wherein the gods are not so much, you know, like your typical floating around in the sky or on Mount Olympus or whatever, throwing thunderbolts at you, so much as they inhabit or are representative of different things. Like, you might have a god of a river that's near where you live, or things like that. And I think in some aspects where we have the spirit of the ocean and the spirit of the moon and things like that, I think it borrows from that in some aspects, which I think is believable because they pull up from a lot of Eastern influences. And then also, we know they have some kind of higher power or special power, because they gave the Avatar. Like, they made the Avatar.
Yeah. I mean, all along those lines, this isn't exactly Eastern, but in Russian folklore that preceded Christianity, they had this sort of spirits of, and there was more than one. It was like the Leshy was the spirit of the forest, and it lived in the forest, and then there was a spirit of the river, and it lived in the river, and that sort of thing, where it's like there are these beings that aren't human, and they are representative of something, but they don't exist on a higher plane. They are intermingled among mortals, among humanity.
Well, this comes from my I agree with, I feel like that's what's more of what we're seeing in Avatar, like, this more connection to the actual world, because, well, my definition, but that's just how I feel about, from my knowledge of Greek mythology, that those gods specifically are a race. Like, they're separate from people, and not completely, not just with their powers, but, they're made of something else. Because we're talking about, there's Zeus, he's a higher god, but then we have Calypso, who's not really an all-powerful being, she's just this goddess that likes to cause problems, so it's just this, I feel like they're more of a race of completely separate than from what we see in Avatar, which, some of them are in the mortal world, some of them are in the spirit world, and they all seem to be representative of something, but I'm sure there are more like Ko, mm-hmm. who are...
Yeah.
And then Hebei, he was the spirit of that particular forest, wasn't he?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
So we're seeing more of that. Of course, we know it comes from Eastern influences, and all that's an aspect of multiple Eastern cultures. So,
and just how I feel about it. What's interesting, lending to the fact that the Avatar is like the Great Bridge, that's the only human person we've seen able to exist in the spirit world after death. As well, which doesn't suggest that it's an afterlife, because the Avatar is kind of a special case.
Well, there was the guy from Episode 7. I don't know if he was if he was someone who had died, or if he was just a spirit who chose to look human, or what was up with him. But he was the one who Aang was bugging, and he was like, "Go away! I don't want you here."
Is that the monkey?
No, it was a man. He was sitting playing a little instrument or something, I think. And Aang was saying, "Oh, hey, where can I find Ko?" And
I think that was the monkey.
Yeah, that was.
Wasn't the monkey go away?
Yeah, that wasn't a monkey. I thought it was a person. It looked like a person.
Maybe it was. I'm just thinking the monkey though. Maybe I was wrong. So yeah, one thing that's interesting though too is in the episode with Hebei is that Katara mentions to Sokka that he spent 24 hours in the spirit world. Now, he didn't mention anything, so we don't know if that's true. She's just hypothesizing, but that could be one way that humans could maybe get dragged into this place. However, it's kind of strange because Aang can't enter the spirit world with his mortal body. There's a child having a panic attack in the background.
Whose kid is that?
But Aang can't enter the spirit world with his mortal body. He has to meditate. He has to have sort of out-of-body experience to be able to enter that. So I wonder, if they did enter the spirit world, would they have to have a similar experience, and could they?
Well, I feel like it's this spirit world kind of conflicts. Well, what we see with the Avatar is that it conflicts with this idea of reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the immortal Avatar spirit, and you have different people every time, but it's weird because the mortal is in the spirit world, but we don't, and then there's just a new person with this, this makes no sense, but it's because the Avatar spirit is confusing. But, so we have this new person, but we still have the other people. It's reincarnation.
Yeah,
I understand
what you're saying. Why it's difficult, because you have reincarnation at the same time. You see the different avatars exist separately from themselves. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, and it's just because I feel like I kind of have two things. I wish the spirit, I want the spirit world to be like an afterlife, so we can get to see everybody. But then, if everyone truly believes in reincarnation, then that doesn't happen. Everyone becomes an animal or a plant or another person,
Yeah, that's another thing, too. I mean, spirit world aside, we haven't seen any evidence of an afterlife in the Avatar world. From what we understand, everything just reincarnates.
Yeah, I feel like having an afterlife it would kind of ruin it, almost. Because instead of having the spirits as this separate thing, you know, it could turn out that, you know, the baker's boy two blocks down the lane or whatever turns out to be the immortal spirit of, you know, whatever. It just seems like it would be odd for it to be everyone just turns into some spirit of some kind.
Well, it's contrary to the Avatar.
Yeah, it is. And one thing that's again tying this in with Greek mythology is that from what I know, the only person of the demigod heroes who was granted the position of becoming a god after he died was Hercules.
Yes.
Everyone else just went wherever the humans in Greek mythology. Well, they all go to Hades, which doesn't mean
or Elysium.
Yeah, it doesn't mean well, that's another conversation. Point is, they go somewhere else. And Hercules is the only one allowed to become one of these higher beings. So it makes it become part of this separate race. And I wonder, you know, is there a similar thing where humans could be granted this, like the Avatar, be granted this position as a spirit? Although the Avatar is a spirit before they died. And so it's tricky. It's different because the Avatar is the only person we have to go off of. And the Avatar is kind of a special case all around.
What you were saying about the Avatar being a spirit, that made me think of something. I wonder how the Avatar spirit was made. Was it a spirit that was made by the other spirits somehow, or was another spirit chosen somehow to be transformed into the Avatar spirit? I wonder how that worked.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding of it, with our limited knowledge, is that, you know, the Avatar spirit is called the spirit of the world. And for me, I think it's kind of like how Tuyenla voluntarily, or I assume voluntarily, you know, incarnated themselves in the human world. That's what, to me, what the Avatar, before it was the Avatar, that's what the spirit of the world did in order to keep balance. Because they mentioned that the Avatar came about after bending.
Yeah, it didn't always exist. So it had to have been made, could say the spirit of the world, because he couldn't have just been made and call it the spirit of the world, because then it's just the spirit we're going to call the spirit of the world, but it hasn't been around all the time.
Yeah.
So I would think that with bending, they decided that they needed to have some sort of policeman's, the only really good word I could think of, someone to patrol, to help the humans deal with their new abilities, because, you know, it would cause war, Fire Nation
also,
being the example.
Know, make sure, you know, it's the spirit of the world. I'm sure they don't want them tearing the world into a billion pieces by fighting with each other.
What I imagine happened with the invention of bending is maybe, you know, these bending happened and then they divided themselves up into nations based on their particular abilities of bending. I mean, maybe before then they were segregated and they were living in different, maybe nomadic groups, but I think the nations themselves came about when bending did.
Well, that would be interesting to say that bending would be the reason, like how we farming made us come into cities, but bending, that was, you know, that would be very interesting if bending had been the one that put that, you know, made the world like settle, if that makes any sense, that we actually start creating civilizations.
I mean it's stuff we're hopefully going to get into in Korra's next, I'm just calling it the next season, okay? I don't care what Prey calls it, it's the next season.
No one cares, so yeah, it's
Season 1, Part 2.
Oh, Sam's still here.
Sam has been here, but Sam hasn't really got anything to say.
It's okay, Sam. Alright. So, I mean, yeah, is the spirit world like a Mount Olympus-type place, or is it an afterlife? We don't know. I think we're all leaning more towards it is not an afterlife.
Yeah, it seems like an afterlife would just kind of ruin it.
Yeah.
Well, logically, it's most likely just because of the reincarnation, unless, I mean, of course, we have a bunch of flaws going on in this anyway. So perhaps, like, I would love for there to be an afterlife. I just really, deep down, my fan fiction self, when I write.
That's another thing. All you fan fiction writers, pay attention to this podcast, because I'm pretty sure the spirit world is not a afterlife, as so many of you like to propose.
Well, though, also, we don't know if
there you go.
We don't know if everyone believes in reincarnation, though. We know that air nomads believe in that, but we don't know if any of the other three nations follow
Sokka
reincarnation, or if
the
they
belief
believe
in the Avatar means you have to at least partly believe that.
Well, yeah, I mean, but exists. I think could be easy to believe that the Avatar's reincarnation is, like, somehow separate and special, so that the Avatar, you know, reincarnates, but you just die and get stuck in a hole.
Yeah. I mean, Sokka suggested that, you know, he's like, what, you believe in reincarnation? That's ridiculous. So, I mean, I think it's possible that some people like Sokka, but maybe just don't believe it for the Avatar period. Maybe they think it's something else causing it. You know, I don't know. And even Katara mentioned, when she mentioned reincarnation, she specifically only spoke about the Avatar reincarnating.
I mean, so, the Fire Nation believes in it, even though they're really, because, I mean, that's why they went after.
Well, I meant in terms for other people, too.
I know, that's what I was talking about. Well, yeah, but I just think that most people, because, I mean, Sokka's, he's the skeptic on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is his purpose, is to do things, well, not his purpose, but he does that a lot.
Yeah.
And he's just, I just feel like the majority of people, because the majority of people see the Avatar as their savior and as they believe in him fully, that I would think they would believe in reincarnation. The majority of people. Yeah. I'm not saying everyone. But yeah.
I mean, it seems natural that they'd have to, at least for the Avatar. But maybe, you know, they think only spirits reincarnate and not them.
It seems like it would be easy for them to believe that the Avatar is somehow separate and special from them. So the Avatar gets to reincarnate, but they don't.
Well,
and
no,
so they have their own beliefs or what have you to explain what happens to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that as well. I think there's different, I'm not going to say religion, I'd say different spirituality between the different nations on that front, on what happens to your spirit when you die, and the idea of reincarnation and the Avatar.
Well, we know that the Fire Nation and the Earth Kingdom really aren't that spiritual at all. That the North, and then the Northern Water Tribe and the Air Nomads are.
Yeah.
Well, we know the Fire Nation used to be more spiritual, but at the start of the war, they just kind of stopped that and used it for crowd control instead of an actual religion.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, yeah, they have the Fire Sages, and the Fire Sages are the
Winter Solstice
ones
who
coronate. The interesting thing is the Sages are the ones who coronate the Fire Lord, which we see in our world, you know, every time. Nowadays, we only have the kings and queens of England, but every time they're coronated, it's by a high-ranking member of religious faith.
Religion.
So, that's interesting to see, too. So, there's some, at some point, there was a devout, well, not devout, well, I use the term devout loosely. There was just a more, a bigger following of spirituality in the Fire Nation.
Yeah,
and it's being reintroduced, because wasn't Zuko crowned by the Fire Sages?
Yeah, but so was Ozai. So, I mean, it's
I would think it would mean more now, but
to them it's probably just a tradition, but at some point it probably definitely meant something.
One of the Fire Sages was talking about back before in their history, back before the Hundred Years' War started, how it was, you know, a much more common thing for people to believe in the kind of spirituality that the Fire Sages believed in. But it kind of petered out, and the Fire Lord said, you know, you're going to help me, you have a link to the Avatar at your temple, and you're just going to work with us now.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, the Fire Nation is the nation that would naturally progress away from spirituality, because they are the industrial nation,
yes,
and not that there's
course.
Causality among that, but there is, you know, a correlation, it seems, between nations industrializing and materialism and a dwindling of spirituality or faith.
When technology can do what we thought faith did.
I mean, they probably, I'd say probably at the forefront of, like, scientific things in the Avatar universe, because they have that, you know, their technology surpasses the other nations. So I imagine things that once maybe weren't explained, natural occurrences and that sort of thing, you know, were explained, and they were able to make these war machines as powerful as, you know, maybe things that they thought spirits were doing, like tsunamis or hurricanes or that sort of thing.
To get to the air nomads, I mean, you thought only flying bison could get up there, but they managed to do it.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. They managed to do that, and unfortunately with Sokka's help, they were able to make these flying machines, too, which basically solved the need for air, which did the job that air bison did. So,
and airbenders essentially as
and
well.
Airbenders as well. Yeah. So yeah, all right. I think
and
we're getting
also not just the Fire Nation, but, you know, different nations look on it different ways. Like the Northern Water Tribe, they believe, you know, the moon spirits, had some kind of healing power where they took Yue up there, and we didn't really see much of anything from the Earth Kingdom. We didn't.
No, we just heard from
Kyoshi Island, but there wasn't really anything spiritual about that.
No, we just heard from Toph that the Badger Moles were the first benders, but that doesn't mean they weren't. They're not spirits. Obviously, they're like a species.
What about the first fire, the original Fire Masters? Do they worship Ron and Shaw, or
I would take that as worship. I would take that as worship. Yes. And it's interesting to see in the Northern Water Tribe, too, they even said, Spirit of the Moon, Spirit of the Ocean, protect us. So, they obviously still have a, or at least the official belief is still in the spirits.
Well, I mean, and the spiritual oasis, the fact that it was so revered by them.
Yeah. So, alright.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't something they took lightly.
No.
Definitely not.
So, I think to wrap this up, we still don't know anything about the spirit world.
Well, did you expect to learn anything?
We think we do. We're pretty sure we might be proven wrong.
Hopefully in a whole season's worth they can teach us something.
Hopefully they'll teach us something about all this and not just, you know, give us information we already know in a different form or information we don't care about. So hopefully we'll learn a little bit about this in the next season of Korra. And yeah. So, what do we want to end on?
Sam, I wasn't, even there.
Yeah, I didn't think so, but what is it, Sam? What do we want to end on?
I don't know. I have steak right now. We can end on that.
All
right,
and no vegetarians and vegans are offended, we will end on steak.
Well, a baked potato. We can end on baked potato, too.
We could end... Okay, we're just... which one?
Baked potato.
Baked potato. It sounds more fun. Okay, we're going to end on baked potato. All righty. One, two, three.
Baked potato. All right. Nom. Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra podcast for DonLuFang.net. If you want extensive in-depth discussion on Korra from longtime knowledgeable fans of Avatar and longtime fandom members, then this is the podcast for you. I am your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by mini-hosts Haley.
Hello.
Colin.
Hello.
And Ari.
Hi.
And also co-host Sam.
Yep.
Ari is Avatar Toph, I believe, on the DF forums.
Yeah.
Haley is Hay and Numbers, and then Colin is the Airwave. So, yes. Today we'll be discussing... This is a mini-cast where we discuss a specific Avatar Korra topic for a short period of time. Today we'll be discussing what-ifs in Avatar and Korra. And first of all, huge thanks to Lauren for sending in this topic. Lauren is a mini-host who I don't believe has been on a mini-cast yet, but then again, I don't know what order I'll publish these in, so who knows. She sent in this interesting topic, just like what-ifs in general in the show. And she sent in tons of examples, and we're pretty much just going to go from those, because it's awesome. So what I mean by what-ifs, what if something in the plot, like something integral to the plot, just happened differently? How would the show have changed? And I know a lot of these aren't realistic, but it's just fun to kind of speculate on how this would be different. So yes, let us go right in, and we'll start with the one, which I know, I think two of our mini-hosts for this one will be looking forward to the most. Like the most, Colin, you're Zutarian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the most Zutarians we've ever had, outside of the Zutaran podcast. But yeah,
Zutara should have happened.
Well, let's discuss that. What the first what if is? What if Zutara was canon as opposed to Kang?
The world would be a better place.
That is a very overarching statement. Let's discuss specifically in the show. So this one is like one of the most. Like fundamental differences. Well, there's another one that would change the show because Kang was introduced from the beginning. So, would the show be all that different? I guess. How would?
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be different because, I don't know if you're saying how early Zutara would have been, but say if Zutara was happening by maybe like second season, then you wouldn't have Aang's strife like between choosing Katara over the Avatar state because he'd instantly choose the Avatar state. He didn't love if things weren't going to happen with Katara, so that whole thing, that whole arc would have been just easily solved, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing. You think of how this affects Aang, and Aang would be more monastic. Is that how you pronounce that word?
Monastic.
If that's even a word. I don't know. More monk-like. You'd think he would just, like, not have love in his life. That sounds kind of horrible, but, like, that seems like the most obvious thing because of his culture and such.
Then Tang would have happened, and that would have been awesome, so.
Well, I don't know if Tang would have happened, but that would be interesting.
Yeah. It still would be cool.
Yeah, you could maybe get more Aang and Toph interactions like in The Blind Bandit.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, as I discussed on the Storytelling podcast, the Aang Katara's arcs are kind of the idealistic heart of the show, and their relationship together furthers that idealism that the show presents. Aang, Katara, both very idealistic individuals, and them together kind of forges this, I don't want to say idealistic again, this less cynical tone than Korra has. So to a certain extent, I think Avatar would be more like Korra if there was Zutara instead of Kat Aang. But at the same time, it's not like Zutara would be like a cynical ship. It's like Zuko turns good in order for that to happen. So it would still be fairly light and not idealistic as pairing those two characters, like Aang and Katara, together, but I don't know if it'd be all that different.
I guess if Zuko turned good, that would seem a little bit cliched. You know, the brave, noble, handsome prince, you know, sides with the enemy because of a woman. I guess I think it'd be a little bit too cliched for Avatar, which is not very cliched at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Zuko's turning was kind of done really interestingly, and kind of in spite of his girlfriend Mei. So yeah, I agree. I'd agree the show would suffer in that regard.
The whole universe would be out of balance.
I know.
Everything would like explode.
That's what would happen.
It also would affect like after the war would end. After the war ended, it would affect the Fire Nation a lot too. Saying like the Fire Lord with someone like Katara, who's not like a Fire Nation blood or like royalty.
Yeah, so maybe it would start more uprisings than.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've read some fanfics that always like start
same here
that. When Zuko and Katara get together, just like civil war in the Fire Nation, pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. At the same time, if they like got through that strife within the Fire Nation, it would maybe forge closer nation alliances.
Yeah, I think it'd be good for the Fire Nation, but that's just me.
Well, of course you think that. But yeah, okay. So we can come back to this if necessary, but let's move on to a different one. What if Aang had found the Fire Lord on the Day of Black Sun instead of Azula?
Would have died.
Same, yeah, that's what I think.
Who, Aang or the Fire Lord?
Aang.
Yeah.
Well,
he wasn't ready.
I think the plan would, this question means the plan would have gone correctly. I think it might have turned out well, because he didn't have his bending at that point.
Well, do you think them fighting would have lasted like longer, and he would have gotten, Ozai would have gotten his bending back, like at the very end of their fighting, and still would have been able to beat him?
Yeah, that's possible.
I think Aang probably wouldn't have been able to kill Ozai. Like, I think he would defeat him, you know, have him on the ground, and then be ready to kill him, and he wouldn't because it's against the Air Nomads' way of life, and that would be a huge, I guess, plot point? I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. It would bring up the whole thing in the finale again. Yeah, that's true.
And he wouldn't...
He wouldn't have some magical lion turtle, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it wouldn't have turned out well. So it's a good thing Azula intervened. Yay, Azula!
I love Azula!
Okay, here's an interesting one. It kind of changes the whole fundamentals of the show. What if Aang had not gone into the Avatar state and frozen himself into the iceberg but lived on through the 100-year war? Would the war have even lasted that long? Or if Aang had lived out his regular life without being frozen, could Katara Sokka have been the next Avatar born in the cycle?
I mean, are you assuming that Aang was able to help defend the Air Nomads against the Fire Lord?
Well, I guess the question is, would he have been able to help defend?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. There were so many. I mean, the surprise attack took the Air Nomads so much by surprise. I don't think one extra airbender would have made that much of a difference, even if he was the Avatar.
I think that's probably true. But then the next question would be, let's say Aang escapes, the Air Nomads die, and Aang's living 100 years in the past. Could he have been a fully realized Avatar and maybe stopped the war earlier?
Now that's a fan fiction I want to see. It sounds very interesting, you know.
It is interesting.
Having adventures with people and things and sneaking in the Fire Nation even though it's war, even though they did that. Anyway.
Are we still, like, saying, like, that Aang leaves, leaves the Air Nomads, like, when he leaves after he finds out?
He runs away, doesn't get frozen, lives. Okay, I guess Aang would have died in the, by drowning, but let's say he doesn't drown, he survives without freezing himself. I guess that's what we're talking about here.
Well, he'd be an old man, so that'd be pretty awesome.
Well, yeah,
he'd be a lot differently.
Well, he'd be an old man by the time the show started, yeah.
Yeah.
But
or he might be dead.
So you're saying the next one is like, would Katara or Sokka have been the next Avatar?
Well, there's multiple ones in this. Let's say Aang dies, Katara, after living through the thing, then Katara or Sokka could have been born as the next Avatar.
No, I don't think so. Because, I mean, wasn't Bright's like whole thing was saying how Aang died early because he technically used his life force in the iceberg. So wouldn't he have died around the same time as he did in before Korra?
Yeah, this gets into that whole stupid thing that Mike and Brian talk about. I don't know. I don't know the specifics
well,
on that.
Well, setting aside logic,
yeah,
I think that Katara probably would have been the next Avatar if Aang had lived and died within that 100-year period. And, you know, the 14 years Katara had to live or something. I don't know. I'm not good at math. I kind of failed it.
Well, it would have been interesting, for sure.
I could totally Sokka as Avatar. That'd be amazing.
Sokka.
That was one of the, what was it called? The collection of stories. There was one that was Sokka the Avatar.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And Lost Adventures?
Yeah, the Lost Adventures. That was
But do we really know that, like, after it's instantly they're going to be the Southern Water Tribe instead of the Northern Water Tribe?
Because well, we don't know. Yeah, we're just speculating. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to somewhere possibly interesting one, hopefully. What if Aang had been killed at the end of Crossroads of Destiny? He was. What if he stayed dead? Would Team Avatar continue to fight the Fire Nation? If so, would they be successful? Would Zuko still join them? Would they even accept him after siding with Azula during Aang's death?
They definitely wouldn't accept Zuko. I mean, especially Katara, since she almost didn't. If he'd helped kill Aang, I think she probably would have waterbended him off a cliff. Or something to that matter.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. There's no way Katara accepts Zuko.
That's another good fanfic idea.
Sam, you gotta get on these.
No, I don't write fanfics.
They would have still kept fighting. They had to have.
Yeah, but I don't think they would have been successful. I think it would have taken a lot longer to defeat the Fire Lord, especially without the Avatar.
You think that they would have waited it out, like, for, like, I don't know, a couple years, maybe 10 or 12 or something, and to find the new Avatar, and so that new Avatar could help them?
The plot of season 3 could have been them searching for the next Avatar.
Well, he was killed in the Avatar site.
Yeah, that's true.
So if the Avatar cycle is done, so let's assume the Avatar cycle is done. I'd say there's no way they win the war unless the invasion plan is successful, except Azula knew about that. So because they're so far down at the end of season 2, that's the thing. The only reason they were able to win or even come close to winning is because of Aang and the Avatar State.
Well, do you think, like, after a couple of years after, like, Zuko would have grown more into like his firebending and gotten better, do you think he would have had a chance to defeat Ozai?
I don't think so. And even if he did, I mean, you still have to get rid of, still have Azula. And, I mean, it's just the whole Fire Nation army. It's all red. That was also being fought by... I guess they could have taken them down because they did anyway without Aang.
Yeah.
This idea needs to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see them winning without it.
So bleak and hopeless. I love it.
What if Zuko and Azula... Okay, this is an interesting one. What if Zuko and Azula switched personalities? What if Azula was the angry, confused, slash turned good guy, and Zuko was the deranged firebending prodigy?
Would that mean Azula is exiled?
I don't know. Maybe. Mm. Yeah, I mean, they would just switch roles. Like, that's all that would happen.
Hmm. Would Azula have appeared in season one as opposed to Zuko?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I can think of happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, the gender switch, I don't think that would do anything, though.
I would have loved Zuko even more.
I guess so.
It would have, I mean, yeah, I guess, well, it would have completely put down Zutara because that couldn't happen, and it won't because Katang's better.
Exactly.
So Azulatara?
Yeah.
I want to know if Zuko's going to have, like, guy pals that, like, you know, track down the Avatar with him, like... What's a guy version of the name May? Mark.
And Sam, you have to write about this. Come on.
I don't know. Ty Lee can just be Ty Lee, except...
Or you can be, like, Ty Luke.
Ty Luke. But, you know, we need, like, authentic names.
Well, Lee can be a male name as well, so...
Yes.
Yeah.
What if Sokka was the waterbender as opposed to Katara? What if Katara was, like, Suki, an awesome non-bending warrior?
I don't know.
I'm not sure that much changes.
That would be weird.
Well, Katara would still be awesome, and maybe the same.
Well, we wouldn't have the whole waterbending master thing with the fight and the Paku.
Yeah, there'd be no sexism and stuff in the Northern Waters tribe.
And the stuff.
And the Paku.
The Paku.
The Paku.
Okay, here's maybe the most interesting one. We'll get some out of this. What if Luten had lived? Would Iroh still be a major influence in Zuko's life, or would Zuko be on his own to discover his own destiny?
Well, it just seems like the reason why Iroh realized what the Fire Nation was doing was wrong was after when Luten died in the Siege of Ba Sing Se.
Yeah, that's the thing. Ba Sing Se would have fallen if Luten had survived, because it's the only reason Iroh called off the siege.
And Iroh would become Fire Lord, because the only reason why Ozai told Azulon to revoke Iroh's birthright was because of the death of Luten.
Very true. So then would Luten become Zuko searching for the Avatar? Or, I don't know.
I don't think Zuko would have been the same. I think he would have been a lot different.
Well, Ursula still would have been there.
Yeah.
So, well, okay, so Zuko's strife wouldn't have happened in the first place because Iroh would be Fire Lord. I think that Iroh would have still discovered like his peaceful nature to a certain extent, even if Luten hadn't died.
Remember that one time where Zhao was all like, "Oh my god, Iroh, you went to the spirit world. What about that mumbo jumbo?"
Well, we never learned about that.
When did that happen?
We don't know.
Where does that spin off?
Yeah, maybe after Luten died. You'd assume it would be.
Yeah.
Like a mystical visit of some sorts to relieve him of his pain.
Yeah.
If that would have happened, would Azula end up being as bad as she is because like Ursa would still be there?
Maybe. Well, I think it was Ozai would still maybe be the same force in her life, so she might. But I don't know. I think the world would be a much better place because Iroh would be Fire Lord and maybe and probably not be as bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
What if Princess Yue had lived?
Are you assuming that like the moon spirit had fully died off?
She can restore the moon and live at the same time.
Okay. Well,
Suki wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
Yeah, Suki wouldn't have come back. No Boiling Rock, which is sad.
I hate Suki.
Okay. I know, but the Boiling Rock episode is just amazing, so...
Yeah. Well, I think the Boiling Rock episode still would have happened, just been a lot different.
Well, yeah. I mean, would UA have traveled with Team Avatar? Or...
What if Sokka could have stayed at the North Pole?
Oh.
Yeah, I think those are the two. Well, I don't think UA would have traveled with them, because her people need her. So, I think it would either be... I don't think Sokka would stay with her, though. But they would still, like, long-distance relationship.
Well, UA is still engaged.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Han died, remember?
He didn't die.
It says...
An overboard.
He's swimming to the Olympics with Zhao.
So people consider Han, right? It's Han, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so people consider his death one of the implied in Avatar. One of the implied deaths. Let's say he did die, then we would have had Sokka anyway. I guess if he didn't, I don't know what would happen. The same thing.
I consider Sokka to be the Brock of the group, if we're talking Pokemon terms. And, you know, Brock kind of parked it when they were all in the Orange Islands, and they brought along this photographer guy named Tracy, I think, or, no, Artist Dude.
The Pokemon
anyway.
Right?
Yes. So, yeah, so, you know, Sokka could have just parked it in the North Pole for, like, a season or something, and, you know, could have had all the fun adventures with the Lapras and stuff.
Well, I like that comparison. Okay. Let's get into some Korra what-ifs now.
Hooray!
And now one of the most interesting ones. What if Asami had joined her father and Nequilus instead of turning against them in the aftermath?
He probably wouldn't hate Makora as much, / Mako, because he would have had a reason to go with Korra.
Yeah, that's true. Makora would be much less objectionable.
True.
Yeah.
Korra would have happened sooner.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't think that matters that much, though. We're talking a matter of days/weeks.
Maybe Mako feel very conflicted about his girlfriend joining the Equalists. And be like, oh, why did my girlfriend join the Equalists? And Korra will be like, oh, they're pat.
Then Mako would have joined the Equalists. And then Korra would have been upset that Mako joined the Equalists. And then Korra would have joined the Equalists.
Well, I don't know. Maybe better for Mako, made it more interesting. I was like, oh, my girlfriend, she's joined the Equalists, what should I do?
Yeah, I think that would have made Mako more interesting. Unfortunately, it would have made Asami fairly stereotypical, though, so I think it's better this way.
Same.
That's what I hoped would have happened. I don't like Asami. I wanted her to go away.
I love Asami.
Asami is amazing. Asami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's good at martial arts.
Haley,
and I like martial arts, though.
What if Korra had chosen Bolin over Mako?
The world would have been a better place. Better place.
This is the only one you can look at and definitively say the show would have been better.
Bolin would have grown more. Had more character development with him in a relationship.
I'm not sure what would have happened to Mako, but at least he wouldn't have been this horrible character that he is now.
Mako would have been jealous, and jealous Mako is fantastic.
We'd have awesome Bora moments.
Yes.
So cute.
Basically.
I wonder what Iki and Jinora would say to that. Because she was talking about Mako a lot in the beginning. She just chose Bolin. I think they would have quite a bit to say about her choosing him.
Well, we don't know what they think of Bolin. So.
That's very true.
What if... Where's the next one? Amon had gotten away at the end of book one. Would he continue to be the Bolin in book two?
But he did get away, except...
What if he didn't explode?
He did get away.
Yeah, he did get away.
But then he exploded.
Yeah.
So. I feel like that would have been good. Like, you know, sprouting up... Like, not like by like his plan, where it's like, oh, Tarlok, why don't we go to another town and be different people? I think it would have been cool, like, to see other Equalists, like, sprout up in different cities and have it be, like, a travel show again, fighting things.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you, Sam. would have been awesome.
Thank you.
Although, I mean, Amon's identity revealed isn't as cool as Amon not identity revealed.
Well, he could have been another person. He could have been, like, Nama.
What's that noise?
That was a car.
Could have been Nama.
It was a car riding outside my window.
What does that mean, Sam? The Nama.
Nama. It's Amon backwards.
Oh, okay.
Nama.
So he'd have just disguised his identity again?
Yeah, he could have been Nama. Yeah.
Okay. Could have gotten plastic surgery like his dad.
I guess, yeah. Different person. Yeah. That would have been interesting.
And then Korra would have fallen in love with him or something like that.
Amora.
Amora, yeah, totally.
Yeah, Amora. It's totally going to happen. Because he somehow escaped the giant explosion at the end and is now in love with Korra.
That's a logical conclusion to make.
Yeah.
What if Tenzin and Lin had stayed together?
No airbending kids.
Well, there could have been airbending kids.
So,
no Milo.
The only way this would have happened is if Lin had decided that she wanted Jens. So basically, you'd think Lin would not be police chief anymore because it seems definitive that Tenzin needed to repopulate. So Lin would have had to not be police chief, and maybe she could have still been an officer, I guess. Just probably can't have that much responsibility with three kids.
Things would have been a lot different.
I mean, they also... she could have done that. They could have just been raised by...
Air acolytes.
By air acolytes, yeah. That's
But there's also the possibility of them having some earthbending children, too. Not just all earthbending.
Yeah, so they would have had to have more children in order to ensure more earthbenders. Yeah.
Imagine Lin with taking care of kids.
Lin with five children. Yeah, that could totally happen.
Well, Toph apparently had a kid, so why not Lin?
Yeah.
Toph's like the BA-est of the BAs.
Exactly.
Toph is the most perfect humanoid being on Earth. Ever. She is awesome.
Zuko's more amazing.
Okay, yeah, let's not start discussing which character is more amazing. What if Hiroshi's wife had not been murdered and she was still alive? Would he be a major character in the Equalist movement?
No.
Probs?
No.
No.
Yep, world would have been a better place. That random firebender who went killing people's parents didn't happen.
I said, who was the firebenders?
It's secretly Mako.
Yeah,
he killed his own parents, Dylan.
Yeah, I know. It was an accident, but it happened.
Oh, that would be a great plot twist.
It would. Mako's evil, yes.
Oh, there should be a fanfic about that.
Sam, you have to write all these.
I can't. I'm not going to write them. But there probably is somewhere.
Yeah, I bet there is. And last, what if Bumi had turned out to be Amon?
Then we would have been right.
We would not have gotten the wonderful banshee scream at the end. And that would have been sad.
Yeah, that's
true.
I
think it would have been great. I was definitely a fan of Amon being Bumi all the way up until Tarlak was, well, no, he's no Atak, my brother.
Well, it kind of would have come out of nowhere, considering, like, the entire season.
Well, no, it's just, like, early in these podcasts, it was just, like, there were so many theories that could have supported that it would be Amon.
If they put clues up to it being true, it would have been so interesting. If they actually led into it correctly.
Yeah, it would have been really good if they'd, you know, built it up more. Other than just saying Bumi once in the first episode.
Yeah.
You know, if they'd said things about him, maybe had in the out of the past flashbacks, I think they could have done a really good job with Bumi being Amon, if he was Amon, which he isn't. But.
Yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't have changed too much, but it maybe would have made that plotline more satisfying at the end, and it would have changed the whole season finale, because there would have been no Bumi reinforcements, because he's not there.
Or maybe he was a double agent.
He's a double agent, what?
Working for the, was it, United Forces, whatever, and Amon.
Yeah, it's true.
That.
That's totally canon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have one to throw out there. What if they didn't change, this is something you might not know, they didn't change Katara's reaction to the kiss in Day of Black Sun to ambiguous. Because originally, it was not supposed to be an ambiguous reaction.
She was supposed to smile.
Yep.
Ah.
Well, you'd assume Kat Aang would happen earlier than the season finale.
I liked how it was ambiguous. It's like, gasp.
If that had happened, we'd... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, if that had happened, we probably wouldn't have the whole Ember Island players scene. Because, yeah. I mean, it seems like she would have been more okay with it.
Yeah, no crappy Ember Island players scene.
I like that scene.
They would be all cuddly and fluffy and...
Maybe because you're, Sweetie. Like, all hamster.
Sweetie would have happened earlier, yes! That would have been the greatest. Except Jean Yang's not writing the show, so that maybe not would have happened.
Different shows for different folks.
Yeah. Let me. Do you guys have any what ifs to add?
What if Avatar never existed?
My life would have no meaning.
Well, I mean, here's one. Like, what if Korra still wasn't able to get her, like, go in the Avatar state and get her bending back?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. What if the show ended, like a lot of people wanted to, with her on the cliff crying? And, no bending back. It goes into next season.
We would have gotten a more, like, a traveling type show, like we did with Avatar. For her to, like, go different places, be a lot more spirity.
Yeah. I mean, I thought at the end of Endgame, I thought she was actually going to kill herself to try and get the Avatar spirit to move on. So I don't know if that would have happened. I mean, it's kind of mature for the show, but then again, Tarlek and Amon did blow up, so, you know.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and a lot of people have interpreted it that way. I don't know.
I don't think Makora would have happened.
Yeah. Well, if she died, then no, but...
Well, I meant, like she didn't get her bending back. Well, both ways it wouldn't have happened, because she'd be dead or
sad. Yeah, she'd be too sad for Makora to happen, yeah. It would have been interesting going into next season. I don't know.
Should have just ended on the cliff.
Yeah.
Should have ended with all the avatars turning blue. That would have been awesome.
Cliffhangers everywhere. We just cut it off at one random point.
Yeah, cliffhangers are the best part.
See what happens.
Yes. Trying to think of one more to end on.
I got one.
Okay.
I got another one. What if Amon was able to take away the bending of the Air Nomad family?
Sadness.
Well, that goes back to the question. What is bending based off of? Because would they have been able to pass their bending on or not?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Part
5 of the genetics discussion, no.
Does Air Nomad losing their bending thing coincide with Korra, like, not getting her bending back and being able to restore other people's bending? Because if it doesn't, then the Air Nomads could have just gotten their bending back from Korra. Because, you know.
Yeah.
Thing that she does with the fingers.
I mean, we assume if it didn't coincide with that.
Well, then that would probably suck.
Yeah. No more bending, and who knows how bending is passed on, and then that would have been interesting to see.
Although we don't know if, what's his name, Rohan, is that it, is an airbender. So, I mean,
Rohan,
if he
the
is...
Rohan, the last airbender, yes! That would have been the new show title. Or another spin-off show, yes. Okay. Rohan, the last airbender.
That would have been awesome.
Someone make a fanfic, Sam.
No. Why do you think I'm, like, the major fanfic writer when I've only written, like, 3?
Well, you wrote that amazing Doc's Hat fanfic, so.
That was, okay, whatever, don't.
Well, okay, I think that's good. Send us thoughts on any of these what-ifs, or you can post on the forums in the podcast thread for this. You can send us stuff at dylan@donglufang.net or post in the DF forums at donglufang.net/podcast, then click on the From the Spirit World forum, and then click on the corresponding podcast number, and then you can leave us feedback, which you should do.
That was very complicated.
Mm. Yeah, I just talked fast. I have been your main host, Dylan. Mini hosts have been Colin, Ari, Haley, and co-host Sam. I had a produced podcast, Dong Fang's owned by Jake. Any final thoughts?
Sutara should have happened.
That's not a good final thought.
Taka is amazing. Just saying.
Taka is amazing.
Yes.
Well.
Dylan, do you have any final thoughts?
I have no final thoughts. What do you guys want to end on?
What if?
I guess that is a good thing. Well, let's do that then. Goodbye, guys. One, two, three. What if?
What if?
What if?